Chapter 18, The Defeated Satan. Few of us have ever recognized the fact that the scriptures teach that Satan is defeated as far as the believer is concerned. He was not conquered by the believer, he was conquered by Christ for the believer in his substitutionary work. The victory Christ wrought belongs to the believer because we were identified with Christ in his substitutionary work. We have mentioned this in another chapter, but I wish to go a little farther with you in this. In Galatians 2:20, Paul cries, "I have been crucified with Christ." Not "I am," as the old version gives it. Back yonder, when Christ hung on the tree, in the mind of justice, every one of us hung there. We were identified with him because he was our substitute. He was taking our place in order that he might redeem us out of the hand of our enemy. We were with him when he died, for we died with him. We were with him when he left his body. We were with him in his great agony while he suffered the penalty that was due us. He was in the prison house of death. Satan was its keeper. The horror of it will never be known. Jesus stayed there until he satisfied the claims of justice for us. Romans 4:25 says, "Who was delivered up on account of our trespasses." That is, he was delivered up to death, spiritual death. He was delivered up to judgment. He was delivered up to pay the penalty that we owed justice. And when the claims of justice were satisfied, then we were justified with Christ. That is the reason every unsaved man has a legal right to eternal life, because he was legally justified with Christ in that great substitutionary work. Then Jesus was born again. You remember the scripture in Acts 13:33, "Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." That was the day of our redemption. I want to pause here just a bit and call your attention to a startling fact. You remember when Jesus entered the Holy of Holies with his blood. He had just come out of hell, and when the Father justified him, he was so justified he could stand in the Father's presence without the slightest bit of condemnation. Like the three Hebrew children when they came out of the fiery furnace, there was no smell of fire upon their garments. There was no smell on the garments of our Lord. Do you know what that shows me? If Jesus could go out of there and into the presence of the Father, you and I can go out of this world ruled by spiritual death. We have received eternal life, can go into the presence of the Father without the sense or the smell of spiritual death upon us. As soon as the Master was made alive in spirit, then Colossians 2:15 became a reality. Having put off from himself the principalities and the powers, he made a show of them openly. Right there in the presence of all the hosts of darkness, Jesus conquered the prince of darkness. Hebrews 2:14 in the Rotherham's translation is graphic. He paralyzed the death-dealing power of Satan. He paralyzed him. He broke him. Now, this is what I want you to notice. This was an eternal victory. Satan was eternally broken, eternally conquered. Did you notice how Peter puts it? 1 Peter 5:8, he goes about like a roaring lion, and he says, "Whom withstand steadfast in your faith." Our combat has been fought and won. There isn't any battle for you to fight except the battle of faith. You are to fight the good fight of faith. What does that mean? You are to win all your victories with words. You are to learn the words of this wonderful book, and with words you will conquer your enemy. All that Peter said to the sick man at the beautiful gate was, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." And the man was set free. He didn't lay hands on him. He didn't pray over him. He simply healed that man with words. That is the way Jesus healed them, with words. That is the way the Father created the universe, with words. You conquer the adversary with words. Today you comfort the weak and the broken with words. You heal the sick with words. Why? When I read Isaiah 53:4, "Surely he hath borne my sicknesses and carried my diseases, and I have come to esteem him as the one who is stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted with my diseases. Then I knew that by his stripes I was healed." What healed me? Words. Now you can understand Psalm 107:20. He sent his word and healed them. It isn't prayer. It isn't laying on of our hands. That may be necessary among the babes in Christ, but for the man that has grown up into the full stature of the knowledge of his rights and privileges, the word heals him. The word brought that money to me. I had called my father's attention to Philippians 4:19, "My God shall supply every need of yours," and he did it, according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That settled it. His words brought comfort and assurance to me. Then I simply said, "In the name of Jesus, you ministering spirits, go and cause that money to come." And the money came, not once, but it has been coming all these years of my public ministry. You see, our combat is not against flesh and blood, as the Spirit tells us in Ephesians 6:12, but it is against the defeated principalities and powers. These principalities and powers have all been conquered. Their defeat is spoken of in Hebrews 9:12 as an eternal redemption from them. You are eternally set free. They are eternally defeated, whipped, conquered. You get your liberty by remembering these words and then acting accordingly. You simply refuse to stay in bondage. With joy you read this scripture, "In whom I have my redemption through his blood, the remission of my trespasses, according to the riches of his grace." Ephesians 1:6. Can't you see what it means? That Satan knows he is whipped, but he doesn't want you to know it. He wants to keep you in ignorance of it. Revelation 12:11 has been a source of great comfort to me. "And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony." That word is logos. In the beginning was the logos, and the logos was with God, and the logos was God. Can't you see they overcame him with the word of Christ? That meant they overcame him with Christ himself. That blood is the basis, the ground of our victory. It proves to all heaven that Satan was defeated, and I act on the ground of that. Now I shout, if he is for me, and he is for me, then who is there in earth or hell that can stand up against me? I am a conqueror. As a nation, we are facing one of the gravest periods of our national life, and it is necessary that there arise a company of men and women who know the power of the name of Jesus and how to use that name against our national enemies. Our worst enemy is not a foreign enemy, it is a local enemy. It is in our midst. Now you are to rise up and to use his words, these demon-destroying words, these demon-defeating words, these circumstance-defeating words. When you go into the throne room, you talk to the Father. You are taking into his presence his own word. Jesus no more spoke the word of the Father than you, if you will use his word now. The Father shows respect always to his own word. He says, "I watch over my word to perform it. No word from me will ever be void of power or fulfillment." Luke 1:37. Go in there then and lay your request upon that word. I like to think that I lay them upon the name of Jesus, and I hold that name up before him with my request upon it. "Whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it you." John 15:15. We are living in this living truth. We are taking advantage of its mighty possibilities, and we are daring to pray. We are daring to face the hosts of darkness with a consciousness that our prayers will be answered, and that the forces of darkness are beaten and defeated. We no longer hold them as doctrines. They are a part of us. We live these words, and they live in us. John 15:7 declares, "If ye abide in me, and my words are living in you, ye shall demand your rights, and they shall be rendered to you." The Father will bring those things to pass himself. You understand, you didn't choose him. He chose you, and he told you to go and bear fruit. That will be word fruit, prayer fruit. We have reached the place where we need to change the minds of men and women around us. There is a spiritual sense of defeat in the hearts of the great masses in the church. This has been brought about by the liquor traffic, by the open saloons, by the girls sitting at the bar. Prostitution and delinquency have run riot with it. The rebellion of the teenage youth against parental instruction and their absence from the church has broken like a running sore in the heart of the nation. But has God gone out of business? Has he lost his ability? Look at the heathen world the little church faced. Look at the educational skepticism in the Jewish nation. Look at the whole black picture of the Roman Empire. The church sent out uneducated, untrained men to face that awful condition and carve new nations out of it. They won, and we can win. We must check off the world's mental influence. We must take our place and shout aloud, "We are what he says we are. We can do what he says we can do." We are linked with God by his nature. There is a human divine union between the eternal Father and the believer. Our spirits have the creative energy and ability that is in the Father's spirit. We are meeting conditions as conquerors. His word in our lips can defeat any force or element that comes against us. By his all-powerful name, we go against these problems and conquer them. I can hear him whisper, "Lo, I am with you. Go ahead. I will see you through. I will be with you." Once again, I hear that song of triumph of the ages. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." Isaiah 41:10. The God who opened the Red Sea, who destroyed the power of the flames when those three Hebrew boys were thrown into the fiery furnace, is with you. I am the God of all ages. Lo, I am with you. All my forces are for you, and you are a victor in the face of all your enemies.